14 through 16, and I'll give you a moment to turn there. Amen, amen. I believe God's doing great things in our midst. I'm looking forward to seeing what God's going to continue to do in our church. Amen. Is there anybody excited about what God is doing? Amen. I believe God's got great things in store for us. Amen, amen. If you have it in your Bible, say amen. Amen. But in Matthew 26, verse 14 through 16 says, "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you," talking about Jesus. "And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him." Amen. When I read these verses, I can't help but think of all the miracles, all the healings, the crowds, the multitudes of thousands whose lives were changed at the very hand of Jesus. All these miracles that took place. People raised from the dead. Jesus walking on water. All of it witnessed by the eyes of Judas. All of it. He was a part of the greatest revival this earth had ever seen. Walking side by side with God himself, clothed in the flesh. He even preached it with the disciples. But in the end, it was 30 pieces of silver that Judas valued more over all the miracles, over the revivals, over the lives changed. In the end, it was 30 pieces of silver. And so tonight I want to preach from that very thought, the title of my message tonight, 30 pieces of silver. And if we put our Bibles down tonight, can we just lift up a praise tonight? Can we just begin to just go ahead and lift up the name of Jesus tonight and worship him and praise him? Amen. God, I praise you, Jesus. I worship you tonight. Come on, can we magnify the Lord here in this place? God, we ask for your anointing tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, I worship you, Lord. I magnify you. Oh, God, you're my everything tonight, Jesus. Yes, Jesus, we give you all praise and all glory and all worship. Come on, can we put our hands together in praise and worship tonight? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You can be seated at this time. Amen. I want you to think about it. How much is God worth to you? What is the value of your relationship with him? What is the value of your walk with God tonight? And I want you always to think about that for a moment. How much do I value my relationship with God? You know, and tonight I pray that everyone's answer here would be that there's no price tag on my relationship. There's no price tag on my walk with God. There's no price tag on this truth. Amen. Because God is my everything. You can't put a price tag on something when it's your everything. When it means everything to you, when it's something that you cherish and you hold dear. Amen. If we were to compare the value of those 30 pieces of silver in today's current market rate, if we were to look at how much they would be worth today, it says that 30 pieces of silver today in the current going market rate would only get you anywhere from $185 to $216. I want you to think about that. That's not much. That's nothing in today's economy. I mean, it can't buy you the latest gadgets. You can't even buy the newest iPhone. You can't even touch it for that. Can't buy probably the iPhone 6 for that. You know, I think they're out on an iPhone X or something like that, way out there. They're ridiculously priced. But, yeah, ridiculous. And so $185, $216 may get you a cart of groceries, but not much. And that was the value of his relationship with God. Over the years, I've seen, you know, growing up in church, I've seen the value. Some people have valued the relationship with God. I've seen the price tag that some have set on their relationship with God. For some, it was the relationship with a significant other, friends, a boyfriend, a girlfriend. You know, for some, it was maybe a new job with a promising career. For some, it was a pay raise. You know, for some, it was a higher education. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with any of these. There's nothing wrong with having a higher education or having a pay raise or a job with a career and a future in it or a relationship. But when you begin to value these higher than your relationship with God, and you begin to allow these to interfere with your walk with God, and you begin to put a price tag on these, and you allow these to interfere and pull you out of a relationship and pull you out of the church, that is when it becomes a problem, when it begins to stand between you and God. And I've seen young people in the church growing up, friends I've grown up with, that value these more than their relationship with God. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. Amen. When I got the revelation of this truth, amen, when I fell in love with Jesus, amen, when God filled me with the Holy Ghost, amen, it was something I began to cherish. Amen. I may have gotten the Holy Ghost at 12 years old, but let me tell you something. At 12 years old, it was everything to me. Amen. I was on top of the world. Man, I went to school bragging about it, talking about it. People couldn't figure out, what are you talking about? But, you know, it was everything to me. I'm at 12 years old, I bought this truth, and I made up my mind then I wasn't going to sell it not. Let me tell you, I was tempted. Come on, we've all been tempted. I've been tempted, but I made up my mind, God, you're everything to me, God. My relationship means everything to me. Let me tell you something. God has got to be your everything. God has to mean everything to you. Luke 12:34 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Amen. You've got to treasure your relationship with God. You've got to treasure this truth. You've got to treasure your walk with him. He's got to be your everything. How many here tonight is God your everything? Come on, is he your everything tonight? God, you're the air that I breathe. God, you're my everything tonight, Jesus. Amen. Like I said, I got the Holy Ghost when I was around age 12. But it wasn't until around age 15, though, that I believe I truly got the understanding and revelation of who God was. Like I said, I've already had received the Holy Ghost and been baptized. But at around that age of 15, somewhere around there, I believe that's when I received an understanding and a revelation and truly fell in love with God. And it wasn't just by some chance. It was alone in a prayer meeting with God, alone in my prayer closet. Amen. It was a 15-year-old boy laying in his bed at night, 2, 3 in the morning, holding on to the word of God. Lord, I want to get this into my heart. God, I want to understand this. Let me tell you something, I believe God began to deal with me at a young age. And I said, God, if I'm going to live for you, Lord, I need to understand everything about you. God, I don't want there to be any confusion in this truth. God, I want to understand everything about it. And it just didn't happen just one night, two nights. But you know what? I persevered. I stayed at it. I made up my mind, God, I'm going to pray every night, God, till I get a revelation I've never had before. God, I'm going to pray every night, God, until you do something for me you've never done before. And I remember tears falling down my eyes, crying and weeping before God, falling in love with this truth. But you know what? You know what happens? It happens in a prayer meeting. You want to get an understanding and revelation of who God is? Then it's going to happen in a prayer meeting. You want to get closer to God? Then it's going to happen in prayer. Come on, you want to grow? It's going to happen in prayer. I mean, sometimes we get frustrated in our walk with God and say, God, why is all this happening? God, why can't I move forward? God, why am I stuck here? Maybe you need to revisit the prayer closet and say, God, maybe I need to spend a little bit longer in the prayer closet, Lord. Amen. But it was there in the prayer closet that God became my everything. And I began to build a foundation and an altar that I was able to build upon. And that's kept me through today. And let me tell you something. It wasn't just during that time that I had a prayer closet. It's a prayer closet I've been able to maintain. It's not just a one-time thing. Amen. You got to work at it. You want to grow, you got to pray. Like any relationship, you got to communicate. And that's what prayer is. It's communicating with God, one-on-one conversation. Amen. If there's no communication there, there's no relationship there. So if you want a relationship with God, you got to communicate. You got to just talk to Him. I remember there'd be three times I would just be sitting there, not even knowing what to say, but just sitting alone in God's presence with my mind upon Him. Things would begin to come to me, and I would just begin to talk to Him like my friend, like He's just sitting there in front of me, and begin to tell God, I'm going through this. God, I don't understand this. And you know how God began to speak to me? It wasn't in some loud voice. The room shook. A lot of times, it would be just scriptures would come to my mind, or I'd be just sitting in the Word of God, turning through the Bible, and questions I may have asked God, I'd just happen to turn just to the right page, and right there, the answer would be. But it happened in prayer. Getting alone with God, shutting out everything. And today we have so many distractions. I make it a point when I'm alone in prayer with God, I turn everything off. Because our minds can begin to wonder, amen, I need to check that email, or I need to check that text, or my phone call comes through. Let me tell you something, there's nothing like it, getting alone with God. I can remember there's some times that I've just, and I'm way off my notes right now, but hey, I remember there was times that I would get into the church. I'd come down to the church to pray, and I would be sitting there and not knowing, you know, and my mind was wandering 100 different directions, and I couldn't get my mind upon it, but I made up my mind, God, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to sit here, God, until I'm able to get into prayer. And next thing you know, I'd be find myself on my face in the back corner of the church, weeping and crying. Hours have gone by. But you know what? I lost track of time because as I was in the presence of He who was my everything. There's nothing like it when God is your everything. He will keep you through some things when God is your everything. When you're truly submitted to Him and you give it all to Him. Amen. Then when you're no longer fighting against His will, God will begin to carry you through some things. And several years later, in the youth group growing up, several years later, I can remember I was hanging out with some of the young people. We all went to hang out. I came up in a close-knit youth group. I mean, 60, 70 kids. We were close-knit, man. We were hanging out. It's 20, 30 strong. But there were just sometimes a few of us. And I remember I was hanging out with a particular group. And this was a group of young people who I cried with in the altars, ran the aisles with, shouted the house down with. Young people who I grew up with. I remember one time they wanted to go out and do some things and go some places. And I said, I'm not going there. I'm not going with you. Amen. There were some house rules that our pastor had laid out. You don't need to go some places. You don't need to be going to somewhere. You don't need to be doing some things. And so I remember I took a stand with these young people who I grew up with, who I were close to. And I said, I'm not going with you guys. I'm not doing it. And I said, you guys can take me home. Like, well, that's, and then here came the pressure. That's almost an hour away. You want us to take you home? And I said, no, well, then I'll sit in the car. I'm not going with you guys, and so I'm not going to be a part of it. Then they're like, well, we're not going to do it unless you do it. So the pressure came on. Young people who I prayed with, who I shouted with, who I was close to, began to pressure me. And let me tell you something, I was able to go back to a prayer meeting with God and just begin to think on it. God, no, you're my everything, God. Jesus, I don't care how much pressure they're going to put on me, God. I'm not throwing everything away that I fought for, that I stood for. And I remember standing there with him just pressure me. And I began to take value in my relationship with God, in my walk with God. And I remember taking inventory. And just as I'm sitting there, standing there, and they're pressuring me, I'm saying, this is what you guys are asking me to give up. I've worked hard for this. Amen. I value this. I've cherished this. So like I said, I grew up in the church. And I grew up in a home. We just didn't play church. Amen. It wasn't okay to come run the aisles on Sunday and Wednesday and then go out and do whatever you want to do throughout the rest of the week and then come back in the church and repent and pray through and then do it all over again. No, I cherished it. I valued my relationship with God. Amen. I grew up, you had to go out and have a walk with God. Amen. So as they were pressuring me, I began to realize what you guys are asking me to betray everything. You guys are asking me to throw everything away because I had made up my mind. If I go through this with you guys, then I'm going to sit myself down because I'm not going to play church. I'm going to sit out of the choir. Amen. I was the pastor's. At the time, I was what they call a pastor's. He had this group called Harvesters, which we were the young men coming up out of under the pastor. So we were close to him. We would come to the church and we would pray with him. Amen. Feel the heartbeat of the pastor. That's what the group was all about. And I made up my mind, if I go through with this, you guys are asking me to give that up. You guys are asking me to step down from everything that I was a part of in the church because I'm not going to play church. I'm not going to play the role of a hypocrite because my relationship was more valuable than that. It was everything to me. And so I told these young people, I'm not throwing all of that away for just one night of fun with you guys. My relationship with God means more to me than that. Come on, we got to put a value on our relationship, God. Lord, my relationship is more valuable to me than anything this world has to offer. And as I look back today, I can look at each and every one of these young people. And let me tell you, one of these, I gotta be careful what I say. One of these young people today was my own very own sister. And I look back at every one of these young people today, not a one of them are in the church today. Every one of them are messed up and they regret it. I mean, and let me back up a little bit. If you were to go back to that night when I took a stand and said, I'm not doing this with you guys. Several months later, the same group was out. And they ended up getting in trouble. And I wasn't with them because they didn't want me with them. Because I took a stand and said, I'm not participating in some things with you. Because my relationship was more valuable than anything this world has to offer. But I look at those young people today and I can go back and say, we ran the aisles together. We shouted together. We cried together. Amen. Some of these young people we would carry to their cars and put them in the car because they were drunk in the spirit, laughing with a laughing spirit, just drunk, laid out. But I can remember, I don't recall any of them actually having a relationship with God. I don't recall any of them having that prayer life. You've got to value your relationship with God. And when you begin to value something, you begin to cherish it. You begin to hold dear to it, and you want to get closer to it because it's something that is precious to you. It was prayer that got me through some things. Having a prayer life, church, is everything. Having a prayer life is everything. Amen. It's like, like I said, it's a relationship. Me and my wife, we wouldn't be close if we didn't communicate. What kind of marriage would that be if we didn't ever talk? It wouldn't be a marriage. That's the kind of relationship you've got to have with God. And when I think about my wife, I cherish her. I value her. And I wouldn't do anything willfully to hurt her. Her emotions, her feelings. And that's the same way we've got to be with God. Lord, I want to value my relationship with you. I want to cherish you. God, I don't want to mess up. Because every time we mess up and we fail, we're not hurting just ourselves, but we're hurting God. Amen. We're hurting His feelings. We're hurting His emotions. Amen. We got to put a value in it. God, I don't want to take for granted of Your grace and Your mercy. You're everything to me, God. I love You, Jesus. God, I treasure You. Amen. It's like the story of the man who got discouraged, who was ready to leave the church. And he went in to talk to the pastor and told the pastor, "Pastor, I can't do it no more. I'm ready to leave. I'm ready to turn in my keys. I'm walking away. All the years I've served, I just can't do it no more." And the pastor simply told him, "No, it's not me who you need to talk to. It's not me who you've served all these years." And the pastor began to tell him, "I'll take your keys. I'll take your resignation. But first you got to do something for me. I want you to go into the sanctuary. And I want you to spend an hour in there. And I want you to tell him that you're ready to leave, that you can't do it anymore. I want you to tell him, because he's the one you've served. He's the one you need to talk to." And so as the man walked into the church and the pastor sitting there in his office, several hours went by and the pastor was got kind of worried, thinking the man just may have left. And he looked, checked outside, and the man's truck was still sitting out in the parking lot. And so the pastor said, "Well, the man must be still here." And after several hours have gone by, the man come back into the office, tears pouring down his face, saying, "Pastor, I can't do it. I can't, Pastor. I'm sorry for saying that I couldn't do it. Please don't accept my resignation. Because when I was in the church and I got in prayer, I fell in love with who He was again. God reminded me who He was again. Oh, I fell in love with, I remembered all the things He brought me through. I remember the times I went through the storms. I remember the trials and the tribulations that God brought me through." Prayer changes everything. Talking to God makes all the difference. Maybe you're discouraged tonight. Maybe then that's the time you need to hit your knees and say, "God, I need You. God, I want to live for You. God, I've served You. God, I want You to be my everything to Jesus. Wrap me in Your arms tonight, God." How many tonight wants God to be your everything? How many tonight want to get closer to Him like you've never been before? "You're my everything, Jesus." Amen. When you begin to study out the life of Judas, when you begin to study out Judas in the Bible, it becomes clear. I believe he never understood who God was. He never got the revelation that he was walking with God clothed in the flesh. He saw God do all these things, the miracles, the wonders, the signs. But I believe he never understood who God was. He never got the revelation. Because if you look at the life of Judas, out of his own words, you can see how much Jesus was worth to him. You can see by the words he used how much God meant to him. You see that in Matthew 12 and 34, it says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." And sometimes you can tell a whole lot about a person the way they talk and the way they speak. Amen, because it's the heart speaking. And you see this taking place on the day of the Last Supper when Jesus is sitting with all of his 12 disciples. In Matthew 26, in Matthew chapter 26, verses 20 through 22, it says, "Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, 'Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me.'" Oh man, I don't want God to ever say those words to me. "That you may betray me." Amen. God, you mean everything to me, God. And I pray, God, I do everything I can to live right with you, Jesus. But in verse 22, it says, "And they were exceedingly sorrowful," which was rightly so. and began every one of them to say, Lord, is it I? And then I want you to notice something in verse 25. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? I want you to understand there is a difference between Lord and Master. Because when you begin to look up the meaning of master in the concordance, when you begin to study out what that word meant, he wasn't saying you're my master and everything. What master means during that time was a term of endearment. It was master simply meant rabbi or teacher. That is all he considered God, just a teacher, just a good man, a rabbi. But the others said, Lord, signifying, God, you are my everything. You are Lord over my life. God, I am nothing without you. I am yours because you are my Lord over me. What is he tonight, church? Is he your master or is he your Lord? To me, God, you are my everything. And then again in Matthew 26, verse 29, you see it again. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. It says in verse 49, forthwith, talking about Judas, he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master. There it is again. The master, that's all he considered him, was a rabbi or a teacher. Judas never understood what the worth of what he had. Judas never understood what he was a part of. He never had a revelation of who God was, because I believe had he truly understood who God was, like I said, I don't believe that there's predestination. I believe if Judas truly understood who God was, the devil would not have been able to use him the way he was able to use him. The devil, Judas would never betrayed God had he truly had a revelation of who he was walking with. Amen? Amen. And you can see the difference in the life of Peter. The understanding and the revelation that Peter received. And you see this taking place in Luke chapter 5. Starting with verse number 4. And it says, Now when he had left speaking, talking about Jesus, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And here in verse 5, Simon Peter uses this word. And he says, And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down thy net. Peter understood something. This man wasn't like the rest. There was something different about this man. So he gave him a term of respect, master, rabbi, a teacher. He understood there was something different. He hadn't received the revelation of who he was yet, but he knew there was something different about this man. And you see in verse 6, it says, When he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Here's where I believe Peter received the revelation that this was not just some man. This was just not some rabbi or teacher, but this was God. Because you see, in verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he saw the miracle. He knew that he had been there all night out there in the sea. He'd done everything he knew, everything his experience had taught him. But this man stepped onto the scene and told him to launch out again. Amen, because I'm about to do a miracle. I'm about to do a work. And he says, And when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. There's the word, Lord. You are my everything. You are Lord over me. Amen. Let me tell you something. Peter recognized this was God. This man was different. This man did something that no other man was able to do before. And I want you to notice what happens next. In Luke 5:11, it says, "And when they had brought their ships to land," talking about Peter and the others, "they forsook all and followed him." Let me tell you something. When you begin a truth, when you begin to get a revelation of who God is, and you get an understanding of what God can do, you want to follow it. You want to get as closest to it as you can. God, wherever you go, Lord, I want to go. God, wherever your spirit is moving, God, I'm going to follow. God, if you're moving there, I'm going to move there. God, if you're moving here, God, I'm going to be there. God, I want to be everywhere you are going to be. They forsook all and followed him. When Jesus is your everything, you will do everything you can to be close to him. You will do whatever you need to do to be close to him. You will do whatever is necessary to don't let something stand in the way of your relationship with him, in your walk with him. God, if there's anything in my life, God, that is not pleasing to you, that is hindering my walk with you, Lord, remove it. Bring it to my attention so I can repent of it. That's the way our attitude needs to be. God, is there anything, Lord, that is keeping me from you, Jesus? Bring it to my attention, God, so I can deal with it and work on it. Because I don't want anything to stand in the way between me and you. Amen. But what God can do with someone when he's your everything. When you begin to see Peter, God was his everything. Well, Peter wasn't perfect. Nobody's perfect. No one in this room is perfect. I know my wife thinks I'm perfect, but I'm not. I mean, nobody is perfect. We all have our flaws. We all have our mistakes. We all have our ups and downs. And that's why God's got grace and mercy. And that's why we can go to him in the time of trouble, in the time of the need. That's why we can go to God in repentance and put some things under the blood, because none of us are perfect. But what God can do with someone when he's truly your everything. And when you see this taking place in Matthew 16, verses 13 through 19, it says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that the Son of Man am?' And they said, 'Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.'" But here you notice Jesus begins to ask them more pointedly. And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" But it is Peter who speaked up. And Peter answered and said unto him, and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter had an understanding and revelation of who he was. You are God, and you are my everything. You are God alone, and you are God in my life. I forsook all, and I have followed you. He was his everything. And I want you to notice what happens next. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And that's what I'm talking about in prayer. It's in prayer when God begins to reveal some things to you. It's that a prayer closet when you're alone with God that God can work on you and put some things in your life to give you an understanding and a revelation where God can build on and use you. And he says unto Peter, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatso thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatso thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Let me tell you something. When God becomes your everything, God can use you in such a powerful way. God can use you for a mighty revival. God says, "Hey, I'm that person's everything. I can build on that. I can use that because they value the relationship with me. I'm worth more to them than anything in this world. You've got to value it tonight. It was 30 pieces of silver that Judas valued more. What do you value more tonight? Do you value your relationship with God? Do you cherish it tonight? Amen. The musicians can come. I remember not too long ago, it was several years ago, that I went through something and it helped me to reevaluate my relationship and my walk with God. Several years ago, I had, and some of you may remember it, up my back. I had ended up having a bulged disc and I couldn't move. I remember I was at work sitting on the floor. I couldn't move. I was wondering, how am I going to drive home? I can't even move. If I twitch, I'm in such pain. What am I going to do? I remember I got home and got in the bed. And I had problems with my back before. It would flare up here and there, but nothing like this. And I remember we got in bed and had to call off work. I was off work for some time and going to the doctor. And they would tell me, oh, this. They give you shots and say, well, these shots are going to make you feel better. Let me tell you something. Those shots, yeah, they made you just forget about the back pain because those shots hurt worse than the back pain. So I said, of course, I couldn't feel the back pain no more because all I could feel was the shot that went in my leg. But after the pain of the shot wears off, then the back pain comes back. But I remember I was laying in bed, just laying there, and just I couldn't move. And it was not just, usually the flare-up would happen and take 2 or 3 days, 4 days max, and I'd be good. You know, have a little struggle, stiffness, but it was a couple months. Nothing was happening. I would try to go to work, and man, I'd be moving barely like a log, just couldn't even bend down. I remember, and I had to move a lot for my job. I remember I got down, I was in one of my accounts, and I got down on my knees to scan some stuff, and I couldn't get up. It was in a come and go. And I was sitting, I went to reach up and grab the rack, and the whole thing pretty much came over on me because I couldn't get up. And I'm just sitting there. Everybody's looking at me. Are you okay? I'm like, okay, don't touch me. Because, you know, people start wanting to help you up. Don't touch me. And then we just sit here. Don't touch me. And finally, you know, I got enough huffs and puffs. Like, okay, let's do this. Let's do it. Bear with it and get up. And so I remember one night I was laying on the floor because I couldn't even sleep in bed. It hurt so bad. I mean, just the twitch, the shifting, the mattress, or Brit roll over, or just anything, any movement in the bed, the pain when you want to scream and crawl out of your clothes. I remember I had to sleep on the floor. It was the best, stiffest place I could find that nothing would move. And still in pain. It was no comfort. Still in pain, just enough to bearable to sleep. I remember I was laying there, though, and I was just wondering, you know, several months have gone by, and beginning to wonder, man, this is bad. And, you know, the MRIs are telling me it's bad, and everything's bad, and surgery, you're going to have surgery. And I was laying in bed just thinking, because you hear so many negative things about surgery. I had a family member that had the same kind of surgery and they ended up worse off. And so you hear so many things about surgery, and I'm just a big chicken when it comes to needles, okay? So that just made it worse for me. I remember I was laying in bed, though, just thinking, am I ever going to be able to, I couldn't even hold my kids. I couldn't even sit on my lap. They'd come jump on the bed or come jump around me. Like, don't touch me, don't touch me, don't touch me. And so I began to think, am I ever going to be able to hold my kids again? I can't even hold my kids. They can't even come sit on my lap. They can't even come lay next to me. Or I began to think about, am I ever going to be able to hold down a job? What am I going to do? I can't move. This is the worst it's ever been. Is there going to come a time I'm not going to be able to walk? What am I going to do? And during this time, I was praying, God, you're going to heal me. God, I'm believing you for a miracle. God, you're going to do this. And nothing. And I still would come to church. I remember I was sitting here one night and it was so bad, and I was trying to stand up and pray and not let anybody know I'm in pain. But Wiggins, he picked up on it because I finally walked off and went in the back and went and got Brent and said, we got to go. And Wiggins told me later, I was about to come there and get you and pull you off until you go home. And so, I mean, I was in so much pain, but I made up my mind, even though I was going through this, I could barely move. I wasn't going to let this stand in the way of my relationship with God. My praise, I still praise God no matter what. I couldn't move, but God, I did everything I can just to lift my hands. I didn't care what I was going through. I was upset. Let me tell you something. I was upset that God hadn't healed me. I was believing God for a miracle. I was getting upset. I was getting frustrated. But my praise and my worship wasn't predicated on my emotions and my feelings and my storm, because I still believe, God, you're my everything. I hurt, God. I'm in pain, God. I'm confused, God. I'm worried, God. But I'm still going to do everything I can to worship you. But let me tell you, I had some heart-to-hearts with God. I'm just being honest. I had some heart-to-hearts with God. I mean, I was getting frustrated. God, come on. I served you. I've lived for you. I took in some stands for you, God. You're my everything. God, why haven't you healed me, God? Come on. This is not fair. This is not right. But I still, backsliding was out of my mind. I wasn't going to throw in the towel. I didn't come this far just to give up now. But this is life. We get frustrated sometimes. But I remember I was standing right here. And Brother Mark Morgan was preaching that night. And I was standing right here. And I was in so much pain, man. And I remember my mind. I don't even remember what Brother Morgan was preaching. That's how bad it was. I don't even remember. I was in so much pain. And I was just standing here. I was upset. God, come on, man. This is bad. I'm hurting. I can't even stand. It hurt so bad, you just want to vomit. That's how bad the pain was. I'm standing here, and this is Jesus. And Brother Morgan just came off the platform, come over to me right there, and he didn't lay his hands on my head. He didn't come, bah. He came up to me and just put his arms around me. And I believe he didn't even know what's going on. He had put his hand right there on my back, right there where the pain was at. And he just put his arm around me and just said, hey, God wants to show you how much he loves you. And that was it. But as he said that, let me tell you something, everything in my back became warm. There was a warm, tingling feeling. And I remember standing there, and the tears began to fall before my eyes, and I began to think, God, you're my everything, Jesus. You're my everything, Jesus. And I believe God began to speak to me and say, no, you're my everything also. And I love you, and I care for you, and I'm going to show you tonight how much you mean to me, how much I value you. Let me tell you, as that warmness began, I begin to get, you begin to get excited. It was warm, and the pain began to subside. And I begin to say, okay, God. I mean, I'm kind of leaping a little bit on my tippy toes just because I couldn't do that before, and the pain was gone. And it's been several years. I haven't had any problems. I've been able to jump on the trampoline with my kids. I'm still careful. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I believe God for the miracle. But let me tell you something. I remember to move like I've never moved before. Because God showed me that night how much he valued me. Can we stand tonight? I want to ask you tonight, church, how much do you value God tonight? I believe there's some here tonight that there's some frustrations and there's some confusions and there's some questions of God, why? But I believe tonight it's a Wednesday night. I don't care if it's a Wednesday night. God still can move on a Wednesday night. Amen. There's no time limit. There's no restriction on when God can move and when God can't move. But I believe tonight there's someone here that God's wanting to tell you, I want to wrap my arms around you, and I want to show you tonight how much I love you. I believe there's someone here tonight that God's wanting to show you your value tonight. I'm not just saying this, but I believe God's moving. Amen. God was moving when we begin to sing that song, when I think about the Lord tonight. But I believe God's wanting somebody to know tonight, I'm thinking about you. I haven't forgotten you. You value, you walked with me. You've taken some stands for some things. Amen. You've cherished your relationship with me. You've treasured it. And tonight I'm going to show you how much I value you. Hallelujah, come on. I'm wondering tonight we can just fill this house with worship tonight. Come on, can there a cry go forth tonight? Here I am, God. You're my everything, Jesus. You mean everything to me, God. Come on, tonight the miracle worker is in the house. Come on, tonight the peace speaker has stepped into the house. Maybe you need to revisit the prayer closet again tonight and reevaluate some things. And say, God, I've allowed some things stand in the way of my relationship with you. These altars are open tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, can we close our eyes and just lift our hands all across this sanctuary tonight as they begin to sing? Come on, I believe God is wanting to touch somebody. God is looking to touch somebody here tonight. He's wanting to wrap his arms around you tonight and tell you, yes, you can make it. Oh, everything is going to be okay. You've served me this long. I haven't forgotten it. Put your trust in him tonight.
Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. And Jesus, nothing else matters.
Hey man, maybe you can look around and find somebody that's praying. Amen. Maybe we can move around and pray with somebody here tonight and strengthen somebody and encourage somebody. Find somebody to pray with. There's people that are seeking God.